The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
When I think about connection, that's the first thing I want to talk to you about. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When I think about connection, I know I'm probably pretty silly. The first thing that comes to my mind is the Hasbro game, Connect Four. Yeah, I love that game. Play that game. I've played that game with kids before. They love that game. And it's fun. But you got to get those four, look like little discs in a row. And it's just fun to strategize and try to do that. But in order to get that, to win the game, you have to get it all the things, all the your colors connected. If you're red, you get red connected. Black, you get black connected. So you have to get the right connection. And I believe in order to be everything that God has called you to be in the body of Christ, you have to have the right connection. That's not only with God. It's also with the body of Christ. Casting Crowns had a very popular song, If We Are the Body. Why aren't our arms reaching? Why aren't our hands healing? Why aren't our words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't our feet going? Why is His love not showing them there is a way? It's good. And it's truth. But let me tell you something. It's much harder to do that individually, although we're supposed to be. It's much harder to do that individually and stay on task with it than it is collectively when you have a group of people doing it. You get encouragement. You get it more satisfaction, more spiritual strength from doing it with a group. So connecting is a very important spiritual concept. When we become connected to Almighty God through His Son Jesus Christ, we immediately, by default, become connected to the body, which is really every true believer on the face of the earth. That's why this church, we support ministries like James Robeson, Jonathan Burness, other ministries that reach out. We support ministries in Haiti. We support ministries in South Africa because the body of Christ is worldwide. And we believe the body of Christ is supposed to be working, reaching out. Domestically, we support ministries like Good Works, Pregnancy Resource Center. Recently, Tammy and I have come in contact with a ministry, an Eddie James ministry, Dream Life. They are establishing a residential center in Parkersburg, helping people get off drugs, get their life back together. It's pretty exciting. And they're doing it all through the Word of God. That's exciting stuff. This is all very wonderful and exciting stuff that's going on. But it also has to take place among us. We have to connect with each other, connect to the body, connect to each other in a local small group, I believe. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that is, the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Assemble together. And that means we come together for all kinds of different reasons. Worship service on Sunday morning, awesome. Do it. Don't forsake it. But you know what else? There are other times just getting together with believers and having a good time. That's right. Food, fellowship. That's right. We love food around here. Yes, we do. Amen. It's a good part. I enjoy it. I look forward to that. We got some awesome cooks in this place. Yes. Amen. Yes. It's fun to get together and eat. But, you know, as I said, just going to Sunday morning service is not enough. We've got to connect. And connection comes through relationships. That's why here at the church we have dinners. We have spiritual journey classes. We have monthly staff meetings. If you've not been to a monthly staff meeting, you're invited. Come. It's a time where we encourage, lift up each other. And by the way, we do eat. We have a teaching. I mean, it's just, I love it. I look forward to it. Every time we have one of those meetings, because we just have a good time. And if you've ever been in any kind of meeting with Pastor Otis, you know you're going to do some laughing and cutting up. Bill Francis is the same way. Hallelujah. There's going to be some good times. Hallelujah. Ivy hates it when I encourage him. All these things that we're talking about, they just encourage relationship. I believe the best way, one of the best ways, is through the small groups. So as you can see, I'm just encouraging, check out these small groups. Be a part of them. You know, a pastor that had a kind of a medium-sized congregation, and he had this guy that became born again under his watch, and he came regularly to all the services and everything that was going on. Every time the doors was open, he would come. Suddenly, he just started kind of fading away, and eventually, he stopped coming to Sunday morning. So the pastor went to see him, and it was a winter, cold winter day, and he was sitting around his fire. The pastor just went in, sat down, and started talking to him. Talked to him about all kinds of things. They never really talked about the issue of him not coming to church any longer. But while the pastor was sitting there, he saw the fireplace tongs, and he just grabbed them, and he reached into the fire and took out an ember and set it over on the side. And as they sat there and talked, and they talked for quite a long time, that ember just started to cool. Get cooler and cooler. And finally, there was no fire left in it. Stopped glowing. The pastor just picked it up and put it back in the fire. And as they both sat there in silence, they just watched that ember begin to glow once again. When the pastor got ready to leave, the guy said, "Pastor, I want to thank you for that fiery sermon. I'll be there Sunday morning." Collectively, we can stay on fire. We can be encouraged. We need each other. I need you. You need me. Connection. Connection. All right, the second thing we're talking about this morning. I would like to say this. I love this quote by John Wesley. If you catch fire, the world will come and watch you burn. If we're on fire, other people are going to notice. Okay, the second thing, the second life group value is growth or grow. Serve or connect and grow. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And those who were gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. I want you to see what they were doing. The apostles' doctrine is the Word of God. They continued to come together and learn and grow in the Word of God. They did come together with fellowship. We know that they ate often also. And they prayed. The Greek word here, fellowship, is koinonia. It means association, community, communion. It means joint participation. If you're going to fellowship with somebody, you have to join together and participate in what they're doing. That's real fellowship. I want you to notice they ate, they studied the Word, they prayed together. That's overall fellowship. That's what it should be in the body of Christ. I believe that they came together not because they were hungry. They were physically, for physical food. They were hungry spiritually. They gathered together because there was a deep hunger in their soul to learn and grow. Food was a benefit. The fellowship with believers is a benefit. But you grow when you come together with believers. And I could tell you something. Absolutely. When you get connected with other people, you're going to grow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I can tell you this. You're also going to have some conflict. Conflict in relationship is natural. Conflict in our relationship is natural. If it's not, if we're not having any kind of conflict, something's wrong. She's either letting me dominate her or I'm whipped. Amen? Come on. Because anybody who really understands connection, understands the concept of joining together, understands growth. You know that God designed marriage for two people who have different outlooks on life, different habits, different family backgrounds. He brings them together and they create a family. And within that, there are conflicts. We are a family as the body of Christ. There's going to be conflict. Stop running from conflict. When you run from conflict all the time, you're never going to grow to the place where God wants you to grow to. Conflict is a natural part of life. Conflict is going to happen in relationships. It's not that we need to try to avoid conflict. It's that we need to work through our conflict with each other. Conflict plus love equals growth. You will grow when you work through conflict. Now, I understand that sometimes conflict is, you know, there's just no way to get beyond the conflict with certain people. You do what you can. You love them no matter what. You know, when somebody does and they're constantly doing over and over and over and over the same thing, you try to work it out. That's, remember, a biblical concept is, if somebody has offended you, what are you supposed to do? Go and talk to them. If you know you've offended somebody, what are you supposed to do? Go and talk to them. You're not off the hook either way. You have to do what the Word says. And you go talk and you work it out. And I believe in the body of Christ, 95% of the time, and maybe even higher, it is worked out and it can be worked out. However, sometimes stupid things happen. Sometimes the color of the carpet becomes a conflict. Now, if that's a conflict in a church, there are deeper problems than the color of the carpet. There are deep, deep problems. That should never be an issue. My goodness, why do I care what color the carpet is? What I care about is that we do have a nice place to come and worship God. Praise God. When I have conflict with somebody, and believe me, as pastor, I've had plenty of conflicts. I try to work those out. It's not always possible. Sometimes people don't like the answers that I give them. Well, you don't listen to me. I'm listening very well. I hear what you're saying. But I don't agree. But conflict will continue to arise from time to time, especially if the enemy has anything to do with it. He's going to try to do his best to create conflict among us. But praise God, we are not going to allow that to happen. Amen. We're going to rise above it. We're going to work together. We're going to work out any conflict that we have. We're going to talk to each other. We're going to commune with one another. We're going to fellowship with each other. I can't let a conflict in our life destroy our marriage. It'd be stupid. I love her too much to allow that to happen. That's the way we have to be with each other. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If you're trying to avoid conflict, you may be running from God. I read a story this week about a retired couple in the 1980s. They got fixated on nuclear attack, and they wanted to find out. They did all kinds of research looking for a place, the safest place in the world, that most likely there would not be a nuclear conflict, nuclear bomb dropped. So they searched and they searched and they finally found a place. And at Christmas time, after moving, they sent a letter to their pastor, and the address that they sent it from, their new place that they lived, because they wanted to avoid conflict, the new place that they moved to was the Falkland Islands. 1980s, not long after they sent that letter, there was a conflict on their island, in the Falkland Islands, between Britain and Argentina. You can't avoid conflict. Listen, I would rather be in the midst of the greatest conflict the world has ever known and be in the will of God than in the safest place that I think there is in the world without God. That's what we have to remember. This is a God thing. This is a God community. And that's why he wants us to grow through this conflict. The last thing we want to talk about is service. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Life groups give us an opportunity to acts of service. Serve one another. Listen, I can't tell you how many times that in our small group, our life group, that people just serve each other. They get one another coffee. They get somebody, food or pie or whatever. Just serving one another. There is great, great benefit in being a servant. Jesus said, the one that's going to be the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all. Service is a part of community. Service is a part of being a part of the body of Christ. So, in small group, we have that opportunity, but we're going to do something a little different with our small groups. We're also not only going to serve in the church and serve one another, but we're going to take on service projects. So, if you really want to be involved in some of the things that's going on in our community, you'll want to get involved with a small group, with a life group, because we believe that's the lifeblood of the church. The world needs to see the example of the church doing something more than just what's going on inside the four walls. Now, I've got to say this. This church is awesome. about that. You do it individually, you do it corporately, you serve the community. And I want you to know this, that our community takes notice of that. I've heard over and over how this church is always doing something for the community. That's great. You know, praise God for positive reports from the community. We've heard negative ones before. People who don't even know us say things. But praise God that we are making a difference. Our love as we reach out to touch other people is being noticed by people. That's why I believe this is so important. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What we do when we do good works in the community, when we do good works for other people, it's all about glorifying God. If you are doing it to glorify yourself, you get your reward, Jesus said, and that's going to be it. Is somebody patting you on the back? That's not why we do things. We do it because it's kingdom work. We do it because it's about accomplishing the will of the Father, and we want to please Him. That's my desire in this body. I want us to grow to that. I want us to understand the connection. I want us to understand the growth that happens when we connect with each other. And I want us to reach out and touch lives wherever we go. Wherever we are, people are being touched. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I'm about to wrap this message up. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Before we read this, I'd like to tell you a true story about a pastor in St. Louis. He'd been preaching on James and serving and how it's important that how we treat the least of these in the kingdom. Jesus told us that, you know, we're not supposed to be partial. Everyone is supposed to be loved and served. And he'd been preaching a series on that. And one morning, during service, a bag lady, came in their service. And it was obvious that to everybody in the congregation, she'd been living on the street for some time. Old, dirty, nasty clothes. She smelled bad. She looked bad. She had all these bags and stuff with her. She went in and sat down in the pew, and nobody sat beside of her. In fact, some people who were sitting close to her got up and moved. They didn't like the smell. They didn't appreciate this woman. So when it got time for service, got closer and closer to service time, and everyone was, you know, they noticed that, where's the pastor? He's not here this morning. Where's the pastor? And as time got even closer to the start of the service, the bag lady got up and walked up front and stood behind the pulpit and began to take the wig off and the clothes off. And the more he undressed, people realized it was the pastor. And when he didn't say a word, but he said, "Please turn to James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. If there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" I doubt that the pastor had to say much else that morning. I don't know what happened from there on, but this is a true story. He actually did this. We really need to check ourselves. I really believe that. How would we react? I hope that we're in tune enough with the Spirit of God that we're going to serve the least of these, no matter what. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.